this either is, has been, or will be a Krypton Radio production as soon as we can get the TARDIS working properly to figure out which one it is!
Hey, Madwoman, I like your new stole.
I know, it's all the latest rage from Paris. Ow, I think it just kicked me.
Oh, boy. So now we
animal
have...
Animal rights! Animal rights!
Well, I would say fur is murder, except this fur's still alive.
Okay.
The Mark of the Corsair, fantastic bloke. He had that snake as a tattoo in every regeneration. Didn't feel like himself unless he had the tattoo or herself a couple of times. Ooh, she was a bad girl.
And so are we.
Inundated by hair, and Madwoman has a stole, which actually is our new fourth member of the Corsair Closet.
Yes, behold our incomparable co-host, Rhubarb. And
it's kind of hard for them to behold on the radio, dear.
Is it hard to talk with a tail in your mouth?
His presence can... you can be imbued with the majesty of his presence.
Yeah, we'll send each listener some hair off of his face if you send us your address.
Which could happen because once this cat was brushed and a whole other cat was produced from the hair left over.
Oh, you have no idea.
That's how they reproduce.
Yes. Anyway, you're in the Corsair's closet. I was the Madwoman with a box last time I checked. She was the time siren as of this morning.
I will be a time siren, maybe tomorrow morning, I think.
And he was the awful husband as of Labor Day.
Hello, hello, hello.
So we have a lot to talk about this week, and we're kind of making this a semi-special edition of the Corsair's Closet because we are all major fans of several shows on the Cartoon Network, and their premiere week is coming up.
Yay!
We've been waiting for this for like 2-3 weeks now.
Oh my god, they've been pimping this like crazy on the channel and teasing and torturing us.
The return of Gumball!
Yay!
On what they're calling Fresh New Thursday with Gumball, Fresh New Adventure Time, Fresh New This, Fresh New That, Fresh New The Other
Teen
Thing.
Teen Titans.
Fresh, all with a zesty regular lemon
show.
Scent.
Ooh, regular show, can't wait for that
Fresh one. Enough to slap it in the face.
There you go. So we're going to talk about that, and because we have, you know, all the cartoon premieres coming up, we're going to discuss a few other things, cartoony in nature, some old favorites in terms of cartoons that we all like, the shows that are coming up, obviously, a few classics that have kind of made history in the annals of Cartoon Network and in animation in general.
And some of our favorite cosplay, which is awesome out there regarding cartoons.
Yes, we've seen a lot of clever stuff today looking through it. And to tie into the theme, I'm going to have a behind the curve on a series of comics I've been reading recently, and we'll fill the space with whatever else we decide that you need to hear about.
Oh, yes.
So let's get started. Let's actually...
We haven't started already? We better go back about a year and do that.
Yeah, probably. Well, why don't we start with discussing a little bit about what is coming up on Fresh New Thursday? What do we have to look forward to? And I will turn to the experts who know more about it than me. I just sit around and watch The Shiny.
That.
Well, the big thing I'm looking forward to is regular show.
Oh, yeah.
Because it looks like Mordecai is going to kick CJ.
Yeah, she's going to get kissed. Or it's going to turn into a train wreck like future Rigby had warned.
I think that's coming down the line.
Yes. I would love Margaret to come back, but I like CJ. I'd like to see more of her.
I'm so torn. I'm a Mordecai Margaret shipper, but yeah. I love CJ so much. And I've only seen a little bit of her, but God, she's adorable. She's wonderful.
Yeah, she is awesome. She is so... They're like two peas in a pod, her and Mordecai. So who knows what's going to happen
there. They
goof
around real nice together. But, you know, we just saw the Meteor one. I think it was just yesterday. And I still choke up in that one. Where they're in the friendship zone and they finally kiss for real.
Oh, yes.
Mordecai and Margaret, precious babies.
Yes.
Yes. Meant to be. I'd like to see more of her dad, too. He's funny. They showed the episode today where he goes up. He and Rigby do the Manon Ball up in Chopper 5.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. I like it.
So funny. I like it.
That's a good one.
I'd like to know who voices her dad because he's got a rough, gravelly, manly voice, but it sounds very cool.
We'll have to look that up.
And vaguely familiar.
Definitely. And
now, I'm just wondering when Rigby is going to wise up and start dating Eileen.
You know, there's no fun in that. Though, seeing the first time he and Margaret and Rigby and Eileen went out as a foursome, he's gone from, let's just get this over with, to hugging,
Yeah, he thinks she's cool.
Hugging Eileen. Yeah. So there's progress. It's just, guys his age, they're not very mature, so what can you say?
It's a slow burn. It's a slow burn.
Yeah, yeah, so milk it for as long as you can. That's fine.
There you go.
That's fine. So, yeah, and Gumball! I love it.
Yes, Gumball is coming up, and that hasn't been a new episode of Gumball in a long time.
For quite a while.
Yeah, no, there hasn't, but it's great, the first episode, they're saying there are all these secrets, but also that their voices are broke.
Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting thing, because...
love it.
Their show, Gumball and Darwin, are voiced by kid actors.
Yeah.
Which is unusual, because usually kid characters are voiced by adults because of the problem that gets to an age and your voice changes.
Yeah, that's true. Although, another exception would be Adventure Time. Finn is voiced by a child actor, but his age in the show has progressed, so... when his voice got more mature, it was a natural thing because Finn was actually getting older.
Oh.
So I'm wondering if this is what's happening. The kids are changing their voices.
Yeah, they might be making a gag out of their voices changing.
If you remember the old Charlie Brown cartoons,
yes,
and you compare like the old ones, like it's Christmas time Charlie Brown, to a later one, which I think was like the Valentine's one.
Yeah,
you can tell their voices changed.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, but because you're only doing one a year, wasn't as noticeable. But if you compare them, they changed.
Yeah.
Oh,
I might have to check that out.
Do you know what else? Actually, I just thought of this. I didn't put it on the list because I just remembered. I've been watching because I have a night shift for where I work. I've been watching Afternoons, and they're mixing up the schedule. But they've been showing a lot more Total Drama, Action, and Island lately. Oh. I wonder if this is just filler or if they're bringing on a new segment. For Total Drama.
Oh,
I would love to see one.
Well, Total Drama, like some of their other shows, does take a hiatus for like a year and then it comes back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then their Adult Swim, the Boondocks, was gone for like a year and a half before its second season.
Yeah, and it's started up now. It's into a new cycle. So there's so much cool stuff coming out there.
Too much.
Except,
good
you
stuff.
Know, I'm mad. They moved, which one is it? Is it Batman Beyond?
Yes.
Batman Beyond, they moved to 2 a.m. on Sunday morning.
No, Beware the Batman.
Beware the Batman, 2 a.m. Sunday morning.
Oh, you know what?
They put it in the Adult
Boy,
Swim
does that blow.
Yeah, you know what? They actually have it. It's actually not Adult Swim. It's part of...
It's Toonami?
Toonami.
Yeah.
And Toonami is actually available under the Adult Swim banner on demand for Time Warner, which I'm a customer for now.
Oh.
And I caught... an episode or two of Beware the Batman, and I really like it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, probably because I'm starting to get
amazing
back into all the DC
anime,
stuff.
Amazing anime, amazing story. They did the stupidest thing on the planet, moving that to the Dead Zone.
Yeah, well, and what I like about it is that Alfred is not the Alfred I know.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's interesting.
He kicks butt.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, he's like a badass. I dig it, you know.
Well, they're having some versions where he's actually like a former boxer. And he knows how to hold his own against a thug or two.
Well, so. Every incarnation I've ever seen, Alfred has got, you know, intelligence experience or some kind of military background, but never that young and that still
He was
capable.
Not really a fighter. He was a thinker. But this
exactly.
One, he
oh, really?
He's
oh,
the
nice.
Voice of reason and experience
yes.
to Bruce Wayne, the
action.
Warrior, the
yeah,
soldier.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah, and I, you know, I'm paying attention to it more because I'm starting to get back into the Batman stuff, but I'll discuss that more when I do my Behind the Curve segment. Yes.
Yeah.
So
wait, we have our... Is that cover our favorites, or we're just talking about what we're excited
to
come back?
We're talking about shows that are coming up on the premiere night. And another one to discuss would be Adventure Time, because they're going to do a new episode of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's been on a brief hiatus. Something occurred to me when I was watching the clips for the, you know, coming up on Thursday. I noticed that Finn lost his hand at some point.
Oh, yes, he did.
Now, oh, yeah.
Now,
in the episode where he finds his dad.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually saw an older episode recently talking about a past life of his where he knew Princess Bubblegum and he was a chick.
Oh, yes.
And I thought it might somehow...
I didn't see that one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's, like, having these nightmares, and so Jake forces him to do, like, a regression to find out what the root of him is.
Yeah.
And it turns out in a past life, he was this female warrior who knew Princess Bubblegum. And this female warrior was missing an arm.
Yes.
And so she got to know Princess Bubblegum. She was trying to infiltrate to steal an amulet she had. Yeah. And...
Oh, no, I remember part... I saw, like, the last minute of it.
And it was when Princess Bubblegum was very first starting to build the candy castle.
Yeah,
I really want to see that because, yeah, she's actually, like, 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
She's...
She was around the time with Simon and Marceline when Marceline was a little girl.
Yeah, she's ancient.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, yeah, and I thought it might somehow be related to that. I mean, during that episode, I was expecting Finn to give up his arm for that.
Finn, so. And they're, one of our favorite characters actually bought it, and I don't really want to say who. He hasn't been around too much, but...
a reoccurring character, not...
Yeah, okay. And one of the baddies actually did a weird kind of transformation. So there's a lot in this past couple of episodes. You kind of sit
clearly
there and go,
clearly, I have some catching up to do.
Yeah. Yeah, but we don't know. They're not getting away very much of what's coming up with Adventure Time, actually.
Yeah, there's been a few
pretty vague
scenes. Yeah.
Well, Teen Titans, it's a new episode, and they don't even show you anything for the new episode.
Well, no, they showed them as being puppets.
That's true.
So
yeah.
We know who the baddie is coming back,
yeah,
Puppet Master.
Puppet Master.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm not familiar with the old Teen Titans.
You know who I'd love to see come back from the old Teen Titans?
Who?
Mad Mod.
Oh, I love him!
Because even in the old Teen Titans, Mad Mod was always a crazy episode.
Now, see, I'm not familiar with the older Teen Titans show.
Okay, well, you're going to get schooled afterwards. I'm going to write a note here to show you a Mad Mod episode, because it is awesome.
He's British, Mad Mod.
But
they do all kinds of Beatles references. It's just crazy.
Oh, I like it already.
It's almost like watching Yellow Submarine.
Yes,
it's
yes.
Just that existential.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So yes, you must see it.
All right.
There were two Mad Mod episodes, and they were brilliant.
Sweet. Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. So, definitely. So you guys talk about your favorites. I'm actually going to look up on Google Images, see if anybody's ever cosplayed Mad Mod.
Okay. So, favorites. Yeah, let's talk about favorite cartoons.
Okay, well, you're the youngest one here, so who did you grow up with? Because we probably will remember them.
I probably grew up in the heyday of Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
So, the ones that stick out in my memory the most, I grew up with a lot of the classic Looney Tunes, Hanna-Barbera, stuff like that. But the cartoons I lived for, the cartoons that made or broke my life, there were two.
Uh-huh.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, and She-Ra, Princess of Power.
I was working in a toy store at that time when the shows came out, and so we were selling all the toys, and they were very big.
Somewhere, I hope to God, somewhere I think I still have my pink lion that belonged to the villain.
Oh, yeah? Did we just have an earthquake?
Yeah, we had an earthquake.
I think we're in the middle of having one right now. There's still movement.
Well, we're California,
yeah, but
so
it's,
who cares?
It's slower.
Live on the air, folks.
Yeah, there we go. And we're true Californians. We're just going to move on. Whatever.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, I still have the pink lion villain, the villain road,
yeah,
somewhere in my house. I think I hope I still have it.
Uh-huh.
But I wanted to be She-Ra or He-Man. It's just, for me, the two cartoons didn't, at least in my mind, they were kind of gender neutral. It was just, you know,
you know what? That's totally okay. I mean, I wanted to be Wonder Woman and,
yeah,
you know, and
He-Man
Isis
was a badass. She-Ra was a badass. They were badasses together. I lived for He-Man and She-Ra. And the only other thing that I really, really got into as a kid, believe it or not, two shows that weren't cartoons, so I won't talk about
before we move off of He-Man, He-Man is actually historical in that it was the first cartoon that was first run syndication. They purposely did 5 episodes a week right from the get-go. It wasn't something that was on Saturday morning and then they syndicated it later.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And it was also the first one where they created specifically for a toy line. Usually it was a cartoon and then a toy line spawned off afterwards. These are done in conjunction together. Of course, now it happens all the time. But
yeah.
My Little Pony or just about any cartoon that's out there.
Okay, wow. That I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that. That is weird, wild stuff.
Yes, it is. And I'm actually going to monitor on Facebook. There's the Earthquake Network Facebook page. I'm getting messages from this all the time because it's worldwide. I'll let you know what the Richter scale of that was. But right now I'm going to probably say it was about maybe a 4.
Number for Vault, very
4.1 or something. Hey, let's place bets in the way of true
yes.
Californians.
Oh, this is a small one. This is like a 3.5.
Yeah,
it might be. I think it's low 4 or high 3.
I don't think
it's
up 4. But if we were very
yeah,
quiet,
it might be 3.
And we listen for the screaming people in the apartment building, you can tell who's not a Californian.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so,
but,
okay, so who's your favorite these days, though, Mad Woman?
These days?
Oh, you were saying two more you lived for?
Well, they weren't cartoons, so I'm not really going to talk about
okay.
them, but, you know, I'll just mention the names. Batman, 1960s Batman that was running in syndication when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And so it's almost like cartoon, you know, Adam West and everything. And the Monkees. again.
Oh, I love the monkeys.
Kind of cartoony. I watched these shows in syndication when I was a kid. Yes. I was in kindergarten.
Yeah.
It, I would watch the monkeys before I went to school.
The monkeys were on Saturday morning. Yeah, they were on a cartoon, but yeah.
And then, you know, afternoons, evenings, I would watch Batman. It was, that was my thing. Adam West was my homeboy. but in terms of cartoons, yeah, He-Man and She-Ra were the ones that I really lived for. And these days, a lot of stuff on Cartoon Network, and I'm very fond of regular show. Adventure Time has a special place in my heart. I'm really digging Steven Universe right now.
Yes.
And,
oh, yes. Very much.
It is animation, so I will count it. I think, quite possibly, one of my favorite cartoon shows ever is Red vs. Blue. And that is coming up on a future episode, because we still have to get Christine to
see. Okay, that's anime! It's not cartoon.
Well, it's CGI.
It's machinima, so it's animation.
Most these days, there's still cartoons out there. Most of what's on Cartoon Network is cartoon. Though, yeah, they don't hand paint the cells anymore, and you're actually going to talk about that later.
Well, for Mom, my favorite.
Awful Husband. But, so, can we move on? Oh, before we move on, actually, to whoever else. Okay, Mad Woman, I'm going to show you a picture. Mad Mod, this is what he looks like.
Oh, okay.
Basically wearing a Union Jack, and he carries, and he's got red hair, kind of cropped short. He has small Beatles sunglasses, and he has a staff with a crystal on top. Now, for the Awful Husband.
He's very Austin Powers. Yes.
I have to show.
Oh, my gosh.
Somebody tricked out a Lego figure with, as of Mad Mod.
Mad Mod.
And he is adorkable.
How about that?
Yes. Lego has a deal with DC and Marvel. They do the Batman and all that.
Yeah.
I keep waiting for them to do Teen Titans.
I know.
Yeah, really. People, what's wrong with you? Okay, Mr. Awful Husband, what is your favorites?
I think my all-time favorite would have to be The Kids Next Door, or codename Kids Next Door. It ran for 6 seasons on Cartoon Network. The reason it's my favorite is because there is such a wealth of history. They have their own legends. They have reoccurring characters that just keep coming back. There is so much in those 6 seasons. They have their own mythos about, number 0 was the first Kids Next Door.
Yeah.
And the episode starts as it was the 7th age of the Kids Next Door. So this goes on back through history.
They have a very rich history.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you find out things about the characters, in their past. And, if you're not familiar with it, it's 5 kids, and they're in a group, and they're all like spies, and they're fighting adult tyranny.
Right.
And they have 2x4 technology, which means they build things out of 2x4s and junk and whatever.
Yeah.
And they have spaceships. They have a space station on the moon. And one of my favorite episodes is that they're fighting adult tyranny. And part of the enemy is teenagers, because teenagers are always putting little kids down.
Yeah.
So when you become a teenager, when you hit your 13th birthday, you become decommissioned. And you lose all your memories of ever being in the Kids Next Door.
Yeah,
you
stick a toilet plunger on your face and suck out your memories.
Yes.
It's great.
So one of my favorite episodes is where number 5, Abigail Lincoln, she's coming up on her birthday and she's all depressed. Because it's a whole episode. It's like, what's the meaning of life? This is all going to be over and I won't remember my friends and the adventures we have. What's the value of living? It was a pretty thought-provoking episode.
Aww.
For a Kids Next Door episode.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was.
That's adorable.
And it's amazing because the last episode, I don't know if I really want to spoil it, but the last episode ties into a movie, and it was actually their second movie, because their first movie introduces number 0. So I think it was called Project Zero.
It was Operation Zero.
Operation Zero. And their last movie had a live beginning and ending with real live people playing the characters. And it was awesome.
Yeah, they were all the Kids Next Door as adults. And they were in the interview. It was called Operation Interview.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it was like an hour and a half long.
It was long.
And they would flash back to what happened to Nigel Uno and why
he that was the big thing, is Nigel disappeared. And where did he disappear to?
Wow.
So
okay.
It was fantastic.
Okay,
yeah.
That's something I have to check out then, because I never did really catch much Kids Next Door, if any.
Yeah. Okay, so you've got Kids Next Door. What else?
Well, just a few notes on Kids Next Door. Captain Sticky Beard, the candy pirate.
Oh, yeah.
That was voiced by Mark Hamill.
Oh, was he?
No way!
And Monty Uno, which was Nigel's father, was Frank Welker.
of course.
Which is a guy we know very well. He is the funniest guy. If you're ever in a place where they have cartoon voice actors, uh-huh. you have to see a panel with Frank Welker.
He yes. incredible. Yes.
And Mushi Sabin, who was played in number three's sister, was Tara Strong, which you guys Yay. Interviewed.
Yes, we interviewed Tara Strong. We got a couple Tara. Of sound bites from her for yes. the radio station.
She plays Bubbles.
And Raven.
And Raven, Raven. Yes, yeah. on Teen Titans.
And the purple pony, Rainbow...
Twilight Sparkle.
Twilight Sparkle.
Yes, yeah. she is everywhere where you want her to be, and yeah, she so is she's made
a,
of awesome.
She's a big actress, yeah. Yeah. So, okay, so that's probably my favorite all time. And then right up next to it is Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Yeah.
Now, that has some historical value, too, because first of all, it's 10 seasons long.
Wow,
it was
okay.
Cartoon Network's longest-running series.
Yeah, it was a Canadian production, actually.
It was, okay.
It was the first production that Cartoon Network did not use Hanna-Barbera.
Really?
Oh, it was the first one?
Yeah.
Wow.
I forgot who owns who, but they're associated. And the creator, Danny Antonucci, they had a fight because he presented it to Cartoon Network and Nicktoons, and both of them wanted creative control, and he said no. And Cartoon Network finally gave in and said, okay, you can control the show. And they went for 10 episodes.
10 years. Yeah.
But what I didn't realize this until the very last episode, and I don't know why it took me so long to realize this.
Yeah.
There was a cast of 11 characters. And for 10 years, there was no other characters ever.
None whatsoever.
No outside characters. No character that just appeared in the background. Nothing. Yeah. It was a completely closed cast.
Yeah. No adults. It was all kids.
Wow.
And it
There's
was
one
just
episode
amazing.
Where I think you saw the hands of somebody's mom, but that was it.
Yeah. Until the movie.
Until the movie.
Which you saw kids in the bus. But
well, they were just
or adults were around them, but you only saw from like the waist down, and they were just legs.
Yeah, they were just
adults.
Like silhouettes. And they didn't even move.
Yeah. In fact, that's the only thing that ever broke it is you see Eddie's brother in the very last couple of minutes in the movie, and that's it. They yeah. broke it for that.
That's really interesting.
For those of you not familiar with the show, Eddie was always the schemer. You know, he's always trying to make a scheme and get money from the other kids to buy Jawbreakers, so that was their favorite candy.
Get a buck.
But so nobody really liked him too much outside the other two Eds.
Uh-huh.
But everybody remembered his older brother. They thought his older brother was really cool, and Eddie thought his brother was really cool. So all through the seasons, they talk about his older brother. But you never see him until the very last episode.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting.
One of my favorite episodes is their school plays football against another school. And they did a whole episode of the football game, and yet you never saw the other team.
But there was noise like they were
there's
there.
Noise, but again,
it was so
only
clever.
Those 11 characters.
It was fun.
That's very unique.
That's amazing writing. To stick to just 11 characters had nothing ever.
I've never actually seen an episode of Ed, Edd n Eddy. I'll need to check it out now, man. Yeah. You guys are turning me on to stuff that I need to see, dude.
Yeah. You know, okay, so it's my turn. So my original favorites were the same, actually, as Awful Husband. It was Kids Next Door and Ed, Edd n Eddy. But I think for this newer season that's been the last year or two, it's got to be Gumball and Regular Show, even though Steven Universe is really coming up close on that.
Gumball and Regular Show
but
are my
Gumball
two favorites
too, is so funny. It's so creative because they have all these different amalgams of not just cartoon animation. They put in real life backgrounds. They put in CGI. They do all these characters in like the weirdest possible
it's
ways.
It's all kinds of animation styles. All mashed
into one. It's a mixed medium show.
And the jokes are so funny. Like Gumball's dad is talking to Gumball, and they're talking about you know, kind of who wears pants in the family and who brings home the money and everything, and you know, his dad is talking about, you know, he says, well, you never see your mom leaving me, do you? And Gumball says, yeah, every day to go to work. You know, it's all that off the cuff comedy that's hysterical.
Oh, one of my favorite Gumball lines is he's talking to Darwin. He goes, dude, the internet is like a goatee. It's made out of evil.
Yes.
Yeah, just throwing lines like that. They're hilarious.
Yeah, non sequiturs.
Yeah. They spoofed anime. They spoofed Japanese anime in one. That was so funny, you know, these typical teenage jocks were wearing sweaters, like, tight around their waist, tight around their shoulders, and they, you know, they would take them off, and they kept taking off sweaters, and they take them over their heads, and there were more sweaters underneath, and then they keep taking them off their shoulders.
They were supposed to be tough guys, but they were like preppies.
Yeah, and in the end, you know, Gumball is like, do you really dress yourself, how early do you start dressing yourself in the morning, and is that all you really wear, sweaters? I mean, it's just funniest off-the-wall lines you've ever seen, and regular show... Just because there's just something about it, and I think everybody's like that. They just kind of get wrapped up in like a favorite or two shows. It just kind of started off with some kind of, you know, some male humor, your usual potty humor, but you also have just funny, crazy situations, and they research pretty well. Like if they're going to an evil character who's like a Chinese evil wizard. You know, they do a beautiful job on, like, the kimono he's wearing and the different, you know, spells and whatever. But they have these relationships that go on, like Mordecai and Margaret. And they go back and remember things. Like, recently, they told Skips the story about how he became immortal. And it was very touching, and it was kind of tear-jerking because it involved a woman. So, that kind of changed from those favorite two to this favorite two. And Steven Universe, I love because of the aspect of the crystal gems. They're so different. They don't age. In one of them, Pearl gets stabbed. And her body dies, but she retreats into this crystal to regenerate. And we were just talking about, and I was just looking up cosplay, trying to see if someone has ever done Opal.
Yes, Opal is the fusion of Amethyst and Pearl into a single being with four arms. She's very tall. She has a gem in her forehead and a gem in her chest. Pearl has the gem in her forehead, and Amethyst has one in her chest, so it's like both of them. She uses a bow that is made from both of their weapons, Pearl's like staff and Amethyst's whip. Mm. And
they use the four arms to aim and
yeah, and she kind of has features of both of them. She kind of has Amethyst's mouth a little bit and Pearl's eyes.
Yes.
And her voice is kind of somewhere between the two. It's a different voice actor.
Slightly British, I noticed.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's really cool looking. She's got like, all this gorgeous
she's
hair.
She's gorgeous. She just reminds me of like an Indian goddess with the four arms.
Yeah, very kind of Kali-esque.
Yeah, and there's been little bits of that. I would like to look up actually more about the creator because there are other hints that she's either pagan or into, you know, goddess worship. Because there's a moon goddess statue that they have to take to the temple to
put in place. Yeah, I think her name's Rebecca Sugar, and she's actually, I believe, a former animator from Adventure Time.
Really?
Ah.
Yeah, I did a little bit of reading on Steven Universe, because I'm planning a future Amethyst cosplay. It's happening.
That would be you.
I want to do Amethyst.
You are very Amethyst.
Yeah. I want to make sure that I do it right, be respectful. I'm not going to do my skin, because that would be kind of like doing blackface, which I don't want to do. But I want to try and figure out how I'll do the gem in my chest, and I want to do a costume like hers. You know, I want to do, like, you know, the leggings with the stars in the knees, and get, like, that off-the-shoulder sweatshirt, and, you know, kind of sports bra underneath it, and I'm either going to do a wig, or I might actually color my hair, depending on how long it is.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't worry about doing the skin color, because we just saw Lumpy Space Princess.
We did.
Yes. Oh, looking up cosplay... for Cartoon Network, do yourselves a favor if you want to be entertained.
Hey, she's purple.
Look at
her
it on
purple,
Google
so
Images and put in Cartoon Network cosplay. I mean, the first thing that comes up is some Starfire, but mostly Princess Bubblegum. And then there is a Lumpy Space Princess here. I'm putting this picture on the site, gals. I got to tell you, I love this picture.
It's a gorgeous Lumpy Space Princess.
Yes. Yeah. She's got the bouffant from hell. She has this beautiful plum complexion with darker purple lipstick and a big old star right smack in her forehead. And she's got the lumps, let's just say.
Yeah, she's got those lumps.
Everybody wants my lumps.
Looking good.
Everybody wants my lumps. Oh, my God.
Oh, you do that pretty good.
Wow, you do that voice really good.
Oh, my God. Shut up. Just leave me alone. Everybody's in love with me. Christine, I'm stealing your boyfriend. He's in love with me because he can't get enough of my lumps.
Oh, man. Okay, now you're scaring me. And then, of course, when we looked this up, oh, there's a great raven in here, too. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
When we looked this up, we saw one that we've mentioned before, the world's greatest dad, doing Simon before he became the Ice King, and he's sitting on a fountain, and he's got his real-life daughter there. She's dressed up as Marceline.
It's adorable.
With the big pink
Hambo. Her teddy bear.
And it's just so cuddly.
And he's got the crown there on his belt.
Yeah,
it's so sweet.
Yeah, so there's just great stuff here. Just, you know, spend a couple of minutes and just have fun with this, because it is nuts.
It's wonderful.
And about Steven Universe, I've been noticing, if you watch Pearl, they give her more facial expressions than the other characters. She's always, like, scared or surprised or whatever.
Oh, really?
But and her face and her hand motions, she's more emotional. They use her more emotionally than the other characters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, although, you know, I think Amethyst has her own range of emotion, too. She's selective about it. And Garnet, she's just, you know, very stoic all the time.
Actually, if I make a crossover, Pearl reminds me of Double D from Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Yes.
So she's like the control freak and always neat and having everything.
Yes, she's very anal retentive. Yes. Yeah. It's true. It's true. They're playing homage
like a
to others.
Double D.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's definitely looking like there's a lot of Princess Bubblegum in here and some Marceline and there's an Ice King.
Marceline would have to be my favorite character from Adventure Time.
I love Marceline.
Ice King, of course, is reading his own Fiona and Cake fan fiction.
With Gunter.
Yes, with the Gunter.
Yeah. And I'm loving all of the Princess Bubblegum and Marceline like team cosplays together, because I ship them like burning. But those are gorgeous. And I'm seeing a lot of great crossover cosplays, too, like Fiona, and I don't know what the male...
Fiona and Cake?
Yeah, well, like Fiona and Prince Bubblegum, or Fiona...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the name of the male version of Marceline was.
Something with an M, but I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I can't remember either, but I will be looking it up.
Yeah, but he's a great character, too.
Yeah, he is. He
and
really is.
By Donald
he's kind of hot, actually, but the character could be hot.
Yeah, voiced by Donald Glover, who is amazing. He was on Community for a while. Now I think he's doing rap or something like that under the name Childish Gambino.
Oh, I love it. Wikipedia has its own listing for Fiona and Cake, this is a wiki kind of a thing here.
Yeah.
And
it's a wiki
page. Prince Gumball.
Yes, Prince Gumball.
Yes.
And
I'm trying to find...
We're looking for the name of the male Marceline.
There's a Lord Monochromicorn.
Which would be Lady Rainicorn.
Yes. 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 Marshall Lee.
Marshall Lee is
Marshall Lee. So, it's just made of awesome. I love when these universes not only fic each other, they ship each other.
Seriously. And I love the fact that Adventure Time did gender swap for Adventure Time.
Oh, yeah. That's...
It's amazing. It's totally amazing.
Yeah.
And in the case of Jake, species swap.
Yes, species swap. Yes.
But yeah, it's wonderful, and another reason why I do adore Adventure Time.
Yes.
So very much.
Yes.
Well, my favorite episodes are when they go back 1,000 years to Simon before he became the Ice King, and Marceline and their relationship and what happened to the world.
Yeah. Oh, actually, to go back to what you said before about
There's an Ice Queen.
Ooh.
Nice! Oh,
that's
sweet.
Amazing. But to go back to what you said about Prince Bubblegum being ancient, if you think about it, the past life of Finn, where he knew Princess Bubblegum when she was just building the Candy Kingdom, that is sometime after Simon became the Ice King.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you watch the origin story of how Simon and Marceline, you know, first met...
Yeah.
There's a scene in the episode where they encounter this bubblegum-like goop, and it's got a face.
Yes.
So that goop went on to become Princess Bubblegum.
Exactly,
That was
her beginning.
That was Simon when he still had some control, but
he was
kind of
losing it. Yes, when he was still
Simon
and not
Yes,
Finn.
And people are actually doing Prince Bubblegum.
Yep.
Prince Gumball,
Prince Gumball?
Yes, Prince Gumball.
I can't get enough of it.
Oh my
God, so
someone
much.
Actually did. Lemon Grab.
Oh my God, a Lemon Grab cosplay!
That's wrong.
Unacceptable!
No, you really break the... In my ears and the microphone here.
What is this, rigmarole?
Yes.
1 million years done dungeon. I can't get enough lemon grab.
Oh, yes. Yes, I could. Yes, we could sit here all day and comment on this. We would have to, because yes. I would end up putting a million pictures on the website, which I have no problem with.
Yeah, we'll find a select few and we'll get them up on the show. Yeah. For you. Some of the best of the best, the creme de la creme.
Yeah, so I had a note here about Amazing Spider-Man. What up with that, dudes?
Oh, well, you've caught a couple of episodes of... No, it's the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yes.
The cartoon on Disney DX.
Oh, okay.
And I was noticing a couple of things. First of all, even in cartoons, Stanley makes an appearance.
Of course.
Of course.
Because he's a shameless whore. What can you tell you?
And, I'm forgetting the character name right now.
Phil Coulson?
Phil Coulson.
Yes. to his credit... in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, Clark Gregg voices Phil Coulson. He has played the character across all mediums, except comic books don't count because they're just using his likeness, but still. This has been Clark Gregg's character. He is Phil Coulson.
In all aspects. All incarnations, all universes. Yes.
Now, I haven't seen a single episode of Ultimate Spider-Man, but I have seen a lot of gifs of it on Tumblr.
We just got one or two, but we... Oh, and the other thing about it, it's produced by Man of Action... who created and produces
Ben 10.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which I didn't even know he was working for Disney since he's still working for Cartoon Network.
Oh, yes.
I did not know that. Yeah. That is weird, wild stuff.
Yes. And some of our other side favorites, I can't remember the names of now because they were short-lived, but fun stuff, like Kids in a Mall, Kids at a Beach Resort, and I can't remember those, so we won't talk about them, but anyway, yes. Ultimate Spider-Man is fun. It's kind of a little crazy campy, so it didn't catch me at first, but it's got some good storylines in there. It actually has Spider-Man as a teenager, along with his best friend, who later goes on to be Green Goblin 2.0.
Harry Osborn?
Son of Green Goblin. Yes. And how his dad is dabbling in the deadly. So, yeah. So, Spider-Man, we're done with that. Okay. Yeah.
It is interesting. And also to say that even in Ultimate Spider-Man, Phil Coulson is still a Captain America fanboy. Because I've seen gifs of it on Twitter. Where he's like freaking out because he's touching the shield. And he's like... So, yeah. I love it. I love it.
It's anyway, nice to see other fanboys in fan productions.
You know? Yeah. It's always great to see our people in our... the product that we consume.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And speaking of that... something that's been up and down because the CGI stunk, but the animation was awesome and it is coming back, is the Star Wars cartoons. There's a new Star Wars permutation of a series called Rebels. And we have a link here on herocomplex.latimes.com. And it's set 14 years after Revenge of the Sith and 4 years prior to the events of Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. It'll center on a group of characters with the Inquisitor serving as a major new villain tasked by Darth Vader with tracking down the remaining Jedi Knights. And Freddie Prinze Jr. is actually voicing one of the Jedi.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, and there's teasers on here. There's a new droid. There's just, it's looking really super cool here. And
it's looking very lumpy.
Yeah. All right. None of the lumps.
But you know you love my lumps.
Oh, no. Ah, dear. Does that have anything to do with those ponies? Because they're both purple. Anyway. I thought we got
only one pony's purple.
Oh, ponies wish they had lumps like mine. Anyway, I'll stop with the lumpy space princess now.
Okay. I'm putting a plea out to the audience to get me the hell out of this time zone because there's madness ensuing. Anyway, I'm excited about Star Wars, especially since J.J. Abrams is helming the new one, and it's going to be awesome, and it's coming out like next bloody freaking year, man. That guy is a machine. He is a factory, the way he whips these suckers out, and they're top quality.
J.J. Abrams is our king. He I am a lost fan. I
now,
know this.
Now he's doing both Star Trek and Star Wars.
You know, it's about freaking time, because those back east people... who are prejudiced and bigoted and are one-sided and like one to the exclusion of the other. No more people. You learn tolerance, you learn it now, because J.J. Abrams is going to ram it down your bloody throats.
J.J. Abrams is now uniting us all under a single banner of bad robots.
So deal with it, babies.
There you go.
Okay, so throwing the towel over to Mad Woman and a Behind the Curve.
Yes, and it ties into the premiere of all these shows that are coming up, as I said. because we have the Teen Titans Go premiere coming up, and I recently have been on a DC Comics bender. A friend of mine has...
Do you need some therapy for that?
Nope, I'm good. Thanks.
Do they have, like, 12-step programs that move you, nudge you back over to Marvel there?
And... No, I'm still firmly in the Marvel camp, and it's like, you know, I'm...
Oh, I see. You're just becoming multiple personality. Okay, that's fine.
Yes, I'm becoming, you know, in terms of comics, I am both Stark sexual and Batman sexual. I want them all, baby. Give them, I just want to rub comic books all over me.
Just give me the hot ones.
There you go. But yeah, a friend of mine recently has been telling me about these characters in the Batman universe, specifically Jason Todd, who was one of the Robins. I think it was the Robin after Dick Grayson became Nightwing.
Oh, okay.
And so she was telling me about this storyline where he became the Red Hood, a villain.
Hmm.
And it's actually an arc that spans...
Oh, that was actually... Was that spoofed in the original Teen Titan cartoon? They had a character called Red X.
It's entirely possible it was a spoof.
That just made the connection.
That was the character... Well, that was Robin working for Slade undercover.
Yeah, pretending to be bad.
Yeah, it might have been a spoof. I'm not sure, but...
Okay, continue. Sorry.
Believe it or not, the Red Hood arc started with a storyline that took place in the 80s. And then it picked back up in... Might have been 2005?
Ah.
It started with a death in the family, where apparently fans voted on whether or not to save Robin or kill him.
Hmm.
And I guess Jason Todd was either not well-liked, or the fans went crazy with power. They voted to kill him. So
fans are so not loyal.
Yeah. Spoilers for a 20-year-old comic, or 30 years old now. Jason Todd died at the hands of the Joker. He was beaten to death with a crowbar.
Oh, my goodness. And, that's, you know, vicious.
And died in an explosion. Yeah, it was very vicious, very graphic, and the comic itself, you know, is very retro-looking, very 80s, but still pretty powerful. Mm. And the interesting thing about it is that Jason Todd was not just Batman's protege, Batman's ward. Batman adopted him. So he's, you know, Jason Todd called Bruce Wayne dad.
Hmm.
And so it was a huge loss. It affected Batman a great deal, but didn't kill the Joker. He didn't take revenge. He, you know, did his usual thing, plowed forward. Flash forward to the year 2000, or 2005 it would be, and there's a new story arc that picks up. It ties into, and again, I don't know much about DC, so forgive me for if I get anything wrong. There was a storyline where a Superboy was, like, punching through the time-space continuum or something, and by creating these weird fissures in time and space, Jason Todd was resurrected. Like, literally, dead in his grave, and the next minute he's alive. Like, kind of drawn out of a universe, a possibility where Jason Todd didn't die.
Ah.
So, you know, clawed his way out of the grave.
Wow, that's just creepy.
And was,
like,
you know,
Buffy.
The escape from the grave was less traumatic for him than later when he found out, you know, he was brain damaged for a while. He could fight, but he didn't react to anything. He was kind of a vegetable. So, he was found by Ra's al Ghul and Talia al Ghul, who are a couple of nemeses of Batman. And Talia al Ghul is kind of a love interest of Bruce Wayne. Talia threw him in the Lazarus Pit, which has restorative properties, you know, can bring people back from the dead. And Jason Todd was restored.
Yeah.
And he found out that Batman did not avenge his death.
Uh-oh.
Now, Jason Todd as Robin had a very violent streak. He was okay with killing people. And it bothered him that Batman wasn't. But
and I bet it bothered Batman that he was.
It did. In fact, the A Death in a Family storyline where Jason died, it started with Batman putting him on temporary leave because Jason was getting too violent.
That's a nice conflict.
Aww. Yeah, so long story short, Jason found out that his death was unavenged, and it destroyed him.
Wow.
So he turned kind of to the dark side. He thought he could be the Batman that Bruce Wayne could not.
Mm.
And it all leads to this major confrontation between Batman and the Red Hood.
Wow.
He turns into a very dark, very violent character, kind of almost beyond saving. And it's just, it's really, really good. And it led me to... take a look at the first collection of comics from the New 52 when DC rebooted their entire series. And it's a series called The Outlaws, which features Jason Todd the Red Hood, Arsenal, a former sidekick of Oliver Queen, Green Arrow, and everybody's favorite space alien princess, Starfire.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Princess Coriandra or something like that.
I've never seen Starfire outside of the animated Teen Titans. That's interesting.
Yeah, there's actually some controversy surrounding Starfire and her being a little over-sexualized in the new comics. But
yeah, she's nothing like the cartoon version.
Yeah, well, DC over the years has had some issues with problems with the female presence in their comics and female presence among creators. But I still thought that the Outlaws was very charming. I'm going to follow the rest of the series. And, you know, I'm really kind of into the reboot and the kind of stuff they've done. I want to go back and find some of the older comics so I can see who they were before. Because the previous Jason Todd story arc really, you know, I got into it. I highly recommend people, you know, go to your local comic book store, look through some of the old trade paperbacks. The Jason Todd thing is amazing, and I'm going to go back and look for more Batman, just so I can, you know, learn more about it.
Yeah, wow, this is crazy. And, you know, I thought we were going to be short time this week. We are right up, coming up close on the hour, folks.
Yeah.
Anything else we're going to say for next week? At this point, it's going to be more about cosplay. We have a couple of interviews coming up that Mad Woman and I have to chase them down in the time stream somewhere and find them, because they are awesome and amazing.
Yes. Well, for one of them, we just hop in the TARDIS and pop back in time, because one of the guests we have to interview, we actually met at Gallifrey 1.
Yes. Yes, and actually, you have the coordinates. I lost them, so
I will have to dig that out of the TARDIS mainframe.
There you go.
So, if we have nothing else to discuss, I guess we'll
we gotta pop out of here.
We'll put a pin on it. I am the Mad Woman.
I am the Time Siren, or will be.
I am the Awful Husband.
And has been previously. And we will catch you guys next week. Same Corsair time, same Corsair
channel.
Can I touch your lumps?
Oh, I don't want to touch my lumps.
Where's my cartoon guide? The Corsetteers would like to praise and thank the following. Cartoon Network for obsessive cartoon anime viewing habits. Kids Next Door, but if you're an adult, you didn't hear that. Regular Show. And Krypton Radio. This has been, was, or will be a Krypton Radio production. Please visit www.corsairs-closet.com for prior episodes, links to our social networks, show notes, email addresses, and new blog. We would really love to hear from you.